And you think, well, I don't want people to look at me strange. They look at you strange anyhow. Because you have the light. Isn't it better that they know that the light that's inside of you is going to help them if you just allow God to work through you? And that's what it's about, is a pure worship. And we get so caught up with just everything that goes on in life. Everything. How many of you feel like at your job or at your home? Hey, let's just talk about home first for a minute. How many of you feel like being at home, if you don't do the laundry, ain't nobody going to do the laundry? If you don't do the dishes, ain't nobody going to do the dishes? Right? Or how about this one? If I don't cook, ain't nobody going to cook? Okay. Well, those are things that happen every day, right? Does the earth stop moving if you don't do the dishes? If you don't get the laundry done, does the sun not rise? Oh, life goes on. Okay, well, let me help you. And in your job, there's somebody else that can do your job. I'm going to make it personal. Mm-hmm. Well, my boss don't know what he's doing, and if I'm not there, the company's going to shut down. Yeah, we think all that. Because you all that in a bag of chips. Maybe stale, but there's chips. They were there before you, and they'll be there after you. Trust me, I know. What's this? Take the pressure off of me too, watch. If I don't preach, the church is going to close. Shut up. Somebody else will, Marty. Right? We put unnecessary pressure on ourselves. Unnecessary. But we think it's so vital that if we don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And if it don't do it my way, it's not the right way. Y'all don't think that way? It's just me? Then let me stand at the cross so I, because it's just me then. Y'all are all holy. It's just me. I think I'm the only, because they're perfect. They're perfect, Josh. They're holy. Holes all over their theology, but they're holy. Think that if I don't do it, it's not going to be right. Unnecessary pressure. If I don't go and do what needs to get done, ain't nobody going to do it. Watch this. Talking about? Because y'all are good. Because if I don't do it, then it ain't won't be ready. Unnecessary pressure. The Lord says, well, how about you deposit yourself into other people? So it's not always you. Teach some folks how to do what you know. Your problem is you don't want to teach folks. I'm at the cross, not you, because y'all are all right. You think that you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can prophesy. You're the only one that can lay hands. You're the only one. See how tired you're going to be. See how wore out you're going to be. Your expectations of yourself are wrong. If you were just to do what God intended for us to do in Genesis, is to multiply yourself in others, you could release unnecessary pressure. It's simple, right? Doesn't that guitar sound real good? Doesn't it sound good? Strum a little bit louder. Just a little bit louder. Okay, a little bit more loud. Oh, turn it up, Josh. Turn it up, Josh. Come here. I want to hear it. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't it sound good? because the right amount of pressure is put on the strings. Too much pressure. What will happen, Josh? And too much pressure will bust it. It'll snap it. Much. Is this helping anybody? Do you have too much pressure on you? Huh? You think like you wound up a little bit too tight? You can't move? Don't strum me, because I'm about to pop. I'm all wound too tight. Nobody else is, just me? I'm in the wrong church today. You get wound up so tight, they don't even sound good no more. Because then what happens, you don't hit the right notes. It's no longer good. It's bad, and you're at that verge of just pow, snapping. Why? Why are you at that point of almost just snapping? Because you wound up too tight. Well, you don't understand. The people wind me up too tight. No, ain't the people don't do nothing. Is that what Jesus told him? God, you don't know about these people over here. I know I'm supposed to go over here and go do all this stuff, but you don't understand these people. I quit. Did Jesus do that? Well, there were people there, weren't they? You know how you deal with people. You think about that yourself. I mean, you know, keep it PG-12. You know how you deal with people. Some people, my God, they're all mad because they're running late to work and they're taking it out on you. You seen that road rage? They're running late to work. How is that your problem? Get up earlier and go. Right? They get in that car. They're already mad. They don't even have their shoes on yet. And what I see happen sometimes, my God, you see men shaving. No, I wasn't even going to go with the women. I wouldn't. Since my wife brought her, let me get there. Then you see women. Watch this. I know that it takes two hands on the wheel, maybe one. But then I see with the compact, and they're going down the road, and then I see the other hand with that pad, and they're staring with their knee. They're running late. My question is, you knew traffic's been bad almost every single day you've been going to work, and you still get mad at everybody else that happens to cut you off. Here's the thing that gets me. In the morning, we call it rush hour, but ain't nobody rushing. At the same time. And you know, you set your alarm clock just so you can get that extra 5 minutes. And we're going to pull that 60 seconds from somewhere else. That 60 seconds is going to come from another minute that we're going to borrow from someplace else and put it right there so we can get an extra minute. I don't understand. And then we get mad. Boy, we get mad. See people get in their car and it's like they get into the Batmobile. You know the Batmobile? The one that can go through all kinds of and busting just to get where they're going. And now all kinds of things are happening in society today because the pressure is too bad. Oh, I can't take it. I have too much pressure on me. Shut up and grow up. You ain't the only one living here on earth. So why take it out on somebody else that did nothing wrong? Or did nothing to you? Or you just so happen to be jealous because they're happy and you're not. You better strum me because I don't... Getting all mad at everybody else because you got pressure in your life. And because you're unhappy, you're going to make everybody else unhappy too. You're going to walk around, look at them. Why, you got to be matching. Shoes, dress, everything got to look all good. I don't like you. What'd I do to you? Come on, have you ran into people like that? Watch this. Oh, watch this one. And then, watch this. Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. They ask you what church you go to. See, I hadn't been to the gym in about 2 months. And then you try to go today. Day of church, today. Had me a cup of coffee, and then another cup, and then another cup, and then another cup. I'm good to go. Right? I'm good to go. I get to the gym, I go into that sauna. Whoa, it's hot in here. You try to put on the headphones, you can't even find your ear. I walked out of that thing and I sat down by the pool. You know, there's the bench by the pool, and I sat down by the pool and I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me. The moment I said that, look, I'm ready. I'm a little delirious. I think I got dehydrated real quick in there. So the man I'm sitting next to, and I know this man, he complains about everything. You know who I'm talking about? Everything. The pool's too cold. The pool's too hot. Look, they didn't clean this. Look, the tiles. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Now, I have my headphones on. I'm trying to catch my bearings. And I'm like, Lord, you got to help me. I feel sick, Lord. I'm praying out loud because I really feel like I'm... So he looks at me and goes, oh, you're religious. You don't know me. Scarface came out real quick. You calling me religious? Real quick. It came out, Josh. I was so hot, literally hot, sweating. Oh, my God. And I look at him. I said, I had to pull my, what did you say? Oh, you all religious with attitude. Now, mind you, this is an elderly man. Am I not telling the truth to this man? He's elderly. I'm minding my own business. And he says, why are you so religious? You think he's going to hear you? If I had a weave, I was taking it off. I said, I hear you. Do I not hear you? And what makes you think my dad can't hear me? Like a dog. I said, why are you all mad? Oh, I went to the doctors today and the doctor told me I had another issue with over here and this. I said, and so that's my problem. He says, well, I don't say it was your problem. I said, but you brought your attitude to me. I'm over here. I'm minding my own business. I don't understand why you're so mad all the time. He says, you don't know me, and you don't know me. Now, I'm going to tell you, y'all know Mr. Magoo? Okay, some of y'all that know Mr. Magoo, this is how he is. You know, I'm like, oh, I got to be, he's my elder. I've got to respect. He says, well, I'm just having a bad day. And I said, it's probably best that you have a bad day and take it home than to make everybody else feel like they're part of your bad day. I said, I did nothing to you, sir. And I'm respecting you. But your bad attitude, it can rub off on me real quick. He says, well, I have a lot of pressure at home. I have a lot of pressure. Now God wants to speak. The same way you saw me praying is the same way you can pray. Because he'll hear you the same way. I said, I bless you. I got myself. I walked on. He's persistent. Who said that? Yeah. So I grabbed my stuff and I turned to go walk, to go to the gym and actually try to work out. Well, hold on a second, sir. Manifest angels, God. Manifest angels. And then I just felt the peace of God. I'm sorry. Is all he wanted to say. That was it. Turned around. My workout was great after that. Right? I was like, God, you showed up. You showed up. And we know this man. All he does is complain. That's all he does. He don't care who's in there. He's just complaining. Complain about the government. Complain about the people that built the place. Complain about something that's about to happen someplace. You don't even know about it. He's just complaining about it. That's just the way he is. I was like, Have you been around people like that? Yeah. Pressure. I said, Lord, you got to speak to me. This happened for a reason. I know it. And he said, my people are under pressure that I didn't send. Then they blamed the devil, and the devil didn't do it either. It is the pressure that they put on themselves based on the expectations that they have that are unrealistic. I said, Lord, now you want to rebuke me? I then did your work with Mr. Magoo, and now you're going to rebuke me. And I know, I said, God, what is that? What do we do? What are we doing as the body of Christ that puts us in a bad state? Honest to God. The illnesses in the body is because of the pressure that we put on ourselves. The stress, the anger, the unforgiveness, bitterness, and malice we put on ourselves. Sickness. I said, how do we get rid of it? Your people in all kinds of pressure. He says, so was my servant Paul. What are you talking about, Paul? Paul. So then I go to 2 Corinthians. And I start reading where Paul says, and he's writing to the church of Corinth, to Timothy, and he says, I tell you this, verse 8, he says, I tell you this so that you won't be uninformed. Let me show you so you don't think I'm, Pastor, just telling me something. You don't even get the Bible no more. I don't even know about this, Pastor. You don't even give a Bible, and you don't give a scripture. I give you Jesus. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians 1, 8. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 through 11. Watch this. says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. Pardon me. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Now, that's pretty bad. Didn't that sound pretty bad? The sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves. What you say? What? That we may not rely on ourselves, but on God. Watch this. Watch what it says. Who raises the dead. So do you feel that they were going through some stuff? He says, I write you this letter so that you're not uninformed. I said, I found this very interesting. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril. Again, deadly peril. And he will deliver again. Yeah, y'all don't want to talk to me tonight. On him we have set our hope. Well, now. That he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Mm-hmm. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is what he says right here in verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about what? The troubles we've experienced. In the province of Asia, we were under great pressure. Isn't that something? But what did he tell them? This is his spiritual sons he's speaking to. I don't want you to be uninformed. Do you read in there what their pressure was? What their problems were? So what did he inform them? I'm going to tell you about my problems. And then I don't tell you my problems? But what I do tell you is where my hope is at in my problems. Did you read that? I'm not going to tell you what I've been going through, but I'm going to tell you there's a lot of pressure here, and it's called great pressure. Not just pressure, but great pressure. In other words, not just trouble, but real trouble. Bad. To the point of death. Death. He says, but the God that delivered us once, is going to deliver us again. The same God that raised the dead. So in other words, saying, even if I die in my troubles and my pressure, I will be raised up again. Did you miss that? That's what he was saying here. I've got lots of pressure. And Timothy, I'm writing to you where I'm at. And I'm writing to you that I got some pressure. Great pressure at that. To the point of death, periling death. But he doesn't go down and list all the stuff that he went through. You're going to miss that one. In other words, he ain't going to go and tell all my problems to you and go get on the phone and talk to the next person, tell everybody my problems, and go to the next person like Mr. Magoo and tell him his problems, and go to the next person and tell him your problems, because I have a lot of problems. I'm going through so much. Paul didn't do that. Paul said, even though I'm going through, the God that delivered us before will be the same God that will deliver us again. This is what Paul did. There's great pressure. Great pressure. Like pressure on the Spurs to win. Someone threw a curveball. Right? Come here, girl. Come here. Have you ever... I like you're getting ready to shoot a free throw right now. Shoot a free throw. Okay, just take your stance. Take it. Shoulder width, baby. Shoulder width. It's like I'm coaching you right now. Shoulder width. Get the ball. Okay, get the ball. Come on. You know how you do, sir? Loosen up. You got to loosen up. It's a free throw. It's free. Watch this. It's a free throw, right? And we pay all this kind of money to these professional basketball players. They're professionals. And they stand on a line that is not a three-point line, which would be way back here, and it goes way over there. And I could see that being a little difficult. A little bit of pressure. But watch this. At the free throw line, where's the pressure at? Solely on her. Right? Because she's alone at the line. But everybody else, her opponents, are right here. You're going to miss. They're going to do all that. All that kind of juju that way, right? And then it, real talk now. Spurs and then the Miami Heat, not only does she have to contend with the fact that she's by herself on the line, you got the fans on the other side. Hey, miss. And saying all other kinds of stuff. That's pressure. Let it be 2 seconds on the clock and we're tied up. Huh? And she got two shots. Now you know they're going to be talking all kinds of trash at the free throw line. You going to miss. You ain't wearing nothing anyhow. You just a scrub on it. Or you think you a superstar. You ain't going to make it. You know, man, I'm going to box you out. So you know, man. And they trash. They trash talk. Do they not trash talk? And they even do that in high school and in middle school, right? Don't they trash talk? All this kind of trash talk is what? To intimidate you, to put you in pressure mode so that if when you're under pressure, you can't perform under pressure. Now watch this. Watch this. Jesus now comes in. Since I put peace on you. And all you're going to do is rely on your inner peace. And don't think about the distraction on either side of you. And don't think about the distraction that is facing you. Keep your eyes on the mark. All you got to do, watch this, is square up.
You think you're going to shoot the basketball?
All right, like you're going to shoot the basketball. Watch this. Yes, do that. I want you to do that. Watch this. What does she have to do? Say it. She's got to bend her knees. Why? Because you're getting ready and you're getting in position. Watch, don't miss this. Bend your knees. Watch. You got to bend your knees, getting ready to exert the most power. The shooting power never comes from here. Legs.
Okay, watch.
You ready? Eyes on the mark. Okay, get ready. Knees are bent. Shoulders are what? Square. Toes are pointing forward. Okay? Now watch this. Watch. When they teach you to shoot, I'm just talking about a free throw. When they teach you to shoot, they want you to have your elbow, we saw this morning, up, pointing to the mark. And when you shoot, you follow through. Don't you be doing my tongue? And follow through and point at the mark. Listen to this. Regardless of the pressure, there's still a mark. There's still a destiny and there's still purpose. Regardless of what the situation is, regardless of the distraction, you've got to know if God did it for you once, he's going to do it for you again. If he's standing with you at the line, then you know you're not alone. But you've got to square up. You got to get in the stance. You've got to bend your knees. Just like when he says the only way you're going to get power is by bending your knees and getting on the ground and praying up. What did the Bible say right here? He says right here. Look. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Now, I've watched all kinds of people do all kinds of things at the line. Especially professionals. Come on, Michael. Get over here. Thank you, man. Come on, Michael. Let's see. Oh, no. He ain't going to shoot it. Stand right here. But I want you to face them. Okay? Now, I want you to... do you remember... Let's see. It's not a cigarette, it's a pencil. Looking at y'all. Y'all real quick. Oh, that, what a shirt to wear to church. Okay. I want you to get a position. And I want you to do a routine that you would do. And I remember how you would do yours before you do the free throw. Okay, I want you to do your routine. Pretend like you're going to bounce right now. Do it. Okay. I said, watch it. See, point. Separate. Watch. One, two. Wait. You didn't do just two. You would always do three. How many times were you watching me? I know it. I've watched him play ever since he's a kid. And when he would get up to the free throw line, he would do the same thing over and over, right? Same way. Watch this. It's the same thing as a Christian that is going through life and the pressures come and the pressure's on. After so much repetitiveness and doing it over and over, when the pressure's on, you already know what to do because you've been doing it. You've been doing it and you've been doing it. All right. So what is the thing that we need to do is bend our knees, get in prayer. Watch this and understand. Keep your eyes focused. Focused on the mark. Regardless of the pressure, and you don't have to list the pressures. You don't have to list the pressures because the AC was out and you just couldn't play no more because the AC went out and you were overheated. I'm just saying because, you know, we make all kinds of excuses. And I had cramps. List all kinds of problems. But it's not just you that's playing. You have others. And basically, when I started reading this, thank you, Michael, thank you. When I started reading this, I knew that God was saying, you're not alone, son. You're not alone. You think you got to win this thing and do this thing by yourself, but you're not. I've given you a team. You have to rely on the team to help you get you to where you need to go. Now, if you keep putting pressure on yourself to think that you got to do everything, oh, you're going to choke at the line. You have got to impart to others so that they can do it. Teach them. Teach them that it's not about you. Teach them it's about me, God. And when they can realize that, well, the pressure's on, call upon peace. Call upon peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. All understanding. And then when things get really, really bad, just go back and say, if he did it for me last time, he'll do it for me again. Right? Just the pressure. Can we just release that pressure? You know, thank you, Jesus. I heard that. Some of y'all know the nutritionist that came and did the health seminars here. His name's Justice. We call him Justice. He's also a fitness trainer. I'm going to continue this later on. He's a fitness trainer. He used to train Navy SEALs. And when he trains people, he'll teach them the Navy SEALs training. Well, me and my son Josh came here to the church to do a workout thing. He says, don't worry about weights. You don't need no weights. Just going to use body weight. If I got this, shoot. Get to the church, and he begins to tell me, he goes, no. I don't want you to do what you've been teaching yourself. Let me teach you. I need you to unlearn what you've been doing. How am I going to unlearn? I've been doing it for so long. He goes, just watch me. He says, before you lift up anything, the most important thing is you need to learn how to breathe. I got this. And he says, no. The reason why your muscles get very sore is because of the lactic acid built up because you're not breathing properly. You could minimize that by pumping oxygen in through your system. And what happens is it removes that lactic acid easier. It's still going to be built up there. He goes, I got to teach you how to breathe. So the whole time, Josh and I are on the floor just trying to do sit-ups. Two. A time I knew I was out of breath. He goes, you're not out of breath. Your lungs are not used to you getting that much oxygen in. He says, and that's why you're so sore. He goes, don't get me wrong. You're going to be more sore now than you have ever been. Joshua, my son back there, were we not sore for like 3 weeks? We couldn't even breathe. He worked us out so hard. And now with big weights, Bonnie, I felt so like weak. He gave us a 10-pound weight. Did he not, Josh? 10-pound. Like, what's this going to do? He goes, no, you're doing it wrong. Breathe. I'm breathing. Breathe. Do it slow. Okay. Getting lightheaded and all. Okay. He goes, now watch this. You're making your whole arm work. And I'm just listen. He said, I need you to work out the tendons that are connected to the muscles. Because we overlook the things that support the muscle. Y'all missed that one. The muscle is the one that we think is all the strength. He says it's the tendons that holds the muscle together. If you mess up that tendon, your muscle is worthless. Worthless. And the Lord says, you think you're the muscle, Marty, and you're not. The Holy Spirit's the muscle. You're the tendon. They're the oxygen. It's okay. It's good, right? He said, teach them how to breathe. So they can expand the capacity of his breath. I'm just talking to you about getting tore up in here from 10 pounds. But I knew that what he was saying today, all this was today. I said, Lord, I miss going to the gym because you would always talk to me at the gym. He says, yeah, what happened was you got mad at me. Play no more, God. Because I closed the door and you got mad. Are you going to help me? You going to leave me out here? He said, that whole thing you did on Sunday about that door being closed, that was you. He says, but what you needed to understand, what I did for you wasn't for harm, it was for you. But you got mad and you quit coming to visit me. I told you from day one, I will always tell on myself. So if I do, you need to learn to. I said, God, my inadequacies didn't allow me to go, right? He said, no. Oh, you were ready. Oh, you were ready. There was everything in line for you to go. I wanted to see how you would react. Had this conference, God, I ain't celebrate like I wanted to celebrate the 4 years. Had this conference, and you know, God, I gave all my offerings away. All the way, God. He says, that's how I know I have your heart. Because you're keeping your eye on the mark. Even with the pressure. Because it was on the line. We were on the line. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? They didn't ask for a dime from us. At all. We didn't pay for a hotel for them at all. They stayed in an apartment that his Ray spiritual daughter had for them. And they stayed there. He goes, you want to take an offer? You do. If you don't, it's okay. I said, I don't like doing that. I'd rather put them in a hotel. Let's take up an offering. Let's do it right. I said, you count the money. You count it. We'll just write a check to them. So we counted the money. We gave everything away. When before they left, before a prophet left. Did he not? Whoa. You didn't have to do that. No, I didn't have to, but we wanted to. I said, Lord, bless them. Bless them. And before they left, I said, I bless you again spiritually. And I pray that you got blessed. He goes, you don't know how much we love. Prophet wants to come back and wants us to go over there. He says he hasn't been in a church that pulls as much as we pull. He says they're very receptive. Your church knows how to engage in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is center. That's what he said. So when we gave Ray the check, because we didn't have the check on Friday, we gave the check also on Saturday. I'll talk to you, Pastor. What's up? Do I need to give you anything? Nope, that's all yours. I knew you were my brother, man. But we got blessed, did we not? Yes. And that's what the Lord says. I know your heart's right. Because you are focused on the prize. Regardless of the pressure around you. Yeah, you got bills to pay. I know you do. But I got you. What's it say? My spiritual father's coming Sunday on Father's Day. This whole time we're like, oh, Lord. Like I'm in the sauna again. Oh, Jesus. How are we going to do this one, God? I told Inez, we're just going to do it. We're just going to do it. Oh, man. I talked to Papa Louie this morning, coming right out of the gym in the parking lot. I said, Papa Louie, how are you? He goes, well, you still want me to come? Yeah. Because I'm giving you an opportunity right now. Opportunity for what? To tell me what you think. I said, God's going to speak. And I know you have something. He goes, oh, I have a word for the house. He says, it's going to be in line with what your conference was about. But he says, I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell me yay or nay. I said, oh, no. No, you're coming. You're coming. Hang up the phone, babe. I don't know. He's. We got to figure something out. Mama! We'll figure something out. We're calling daddy. But we trusted God and we kept our eyes focused on the mark. And the pressure was on. And that's when the Lord began to speak to me and speak to me and speak to me. But guys, the pressure that may be on you, and the pressure that you have, that you're going through, if you keep your eyes on the mark, on what he's called you to do, what he's told you to do, where he has you, know that if anybody meant things for evil, he's going to turn it for your good. If he had anything that came against you, he's going to turn it around, and he's going to use it for your good. You can't walk around labeling all these things that have gone wrong. You've got to look and know that if he did it once, he'll do it again. He'll bring you through, not just to bring you through, but he'll lift you up and take you out. You got to remember that God is a God of more than enough. He's a God that will make a way where there is no way. He's the God that says, I am that I am in your life. And I will bring an end to this pressure. But I'm going to use it for your good. Stand to your feet before we even hand out an envelope. Just stand to your feet. I want to bless you. Can we turn up the lights, please? It's kind of dark now. Hallelujah. As Josh is strumming along, I want you right now to search yourself. Say, Pastor, you talked a lot about yourself and the problems that you had. And listen, you are real. But we all have real issues, real problems, real pressures. And that very thing that has brought so much chaos or even so much pressure to you, right now, right where you're at, all I want you to do is lift up your hands as a sign of surrender to it. Say, God, I surrender to you. And I just give it to you, God. Everything that has caused so much pressure on me, that has caused illness in my body, it's caused so much distraction in my thoughts and in my mind, it's even got me mad at you. at times. By lifting up your hands, saying, I surrender, I surrender. And allow the Holy Spirit to come in right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, I release the pressure off of their life, Father. Off of the heart, off of the arteries, the pressure right now, the pressure in the eye and the pressure in the ear, the pressure that has caused there to be swelling to take place in the vertebrae and to pinch a nerve, to fuse together the bones. I release that very pressure, God, over their lives, in their bodies. And I release it under the power and the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you right now for that same authority, Father God, that raised Jesus from the grave. I thank you that these, your precious children, are being raised from the circumstance and taken to a place and a level in you, God, that brings about peace and understanding and revelation knowledge of where they've been to know where they're going. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. I declare right now over the lives of your people, healing, restoration, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated as the elder passes out the envelopes. Guys, I just want to thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to move, not just during the course of the conference, but in your life. In your life. Let the Holy Spirit be the focal point. Let the Holy Spirit be the one who is your focal point. Amen. In your giving tonight, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to touch you and minister to you on the amount to give. Let it be, you know, in the millions. We'll wait, you know, while you... No, I'm just kidding. But let God minister to you and what you are to do. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. I thank God for you guys. Tomorrow we have aliens here at 7 o'clock. And then this Saturday we have our Iron Sharpens Iron at Elder's house at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can go on our website. It's on there. And then Sunday is Father's Day. Father's Day. And our spiritual father is going to be here. And I want you guys to just come expecting. He's got great testimonies on the trip to Africa. And he has some plans for us to go back this November. So he's going to reveal all those plans and reveal everything that took place while they were in Africa. And guys, I just thank you so much. My wife and I appreciate you guys so much. We love you, and I look forward to depositing more of us into you, but more importantly, more of him over you. And Lord, a blessing, and I thank you guys for that. If you're ready with your tithes and offering lifted up before the Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you right now as they give tonight. They're giving, Father God, into the kingdom of God. And I thank you that your word says that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there's not enough room to contain it. But Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, as you begin to touch and move in the area of their life, Father God, I just thank you that there is a miracle about to be displayed in their very life. Father, I just thank you in advance for it. We can decree it in their life, Father, that you will rebuke the devourer for their sake. Father, I just give you praise and honor and glory to your name. Now receive this offering unto you as worship to you. Our giving is a sign of worship to you, that we trust your word and we trust you. Father, that you reach into the heart of man to bring about the greatest revival in their life, in their home, in their family, and in their jobs, in their schools, in their surroundings, and in their area of influence. I thank you that you revive them again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. You may serve the Lord, and we will see you on Sunday. Amen. God bless you guys.